I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome in to the Utopia Football Podcast. Good to be with you. I'm Sean Pendergast, one half Payne and Pendergast on Sports Radio 610. We are recording this on a Tuesday afternoon mailbag episode. Got a few mailbag questions to get to. Got a few little schedule preview items that I want to get to on this episode as well as a few thoughts from rookie minicamp. So this will be a quick one. I will have a second episode this week, probably dropping Thursday morning. I'm going to record it tomorrow night after the schedule comes out with my thoughts on the Houston Texans schedule. So be on the lookout for that. But good to be with you. Hope you're having a great week. Hope all you mothers out there had a great Mother's Day weekend. And let's get right to it here on the podcast. I've got several mailbag questions. A reminder, administrative items, right? Subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. We always appreciate that. If you tell a friend, that's great. Get them to subscribe. Number of subscribers, big metric. Rating and getting ratings and reviews. Good ones help, but honest feedback always helps too. To that end, you can also email the show, houmailbag@gmail.com, if you want to get in touch with me or any of my various social media platforms. My DMs are open on X and on Instagram and Facebook Messenger, et cetera. You can find me on all those platforms as well. I'm easy to find there. At Sean T. Pendergast. Twitter's my biggest one. I've got, 50-some-odd thousand on there. So that's the one that I'm dialed into the most throughout the day. But email works. houmailbag@gmail.com. If you didn't get a question in this week's mailbag, I would imagine there'll be some schedule react. Texans are actually doing OTAs this week, which I didn't even realize. They didn't make a big deal out of it or anything, but I saw some videos today of guys showing up at the building for practice. So voluntary stuff still at this point. Mandatory minicamps not for another couple weeks, I think. And then they'll be off for June, and then they'll be back for training camp in July. So it'll be here before we know it. Again, schedule release tomorrow night. I'll get the thoughts on that in a second. As far as follow-up from rookie minicamp goes, I was there on Friday like several of the people who covered the Texans were. There's not a ton to glean at rookie minicamp workouts, only because they're not in pads, they're not allowed to hit. They aren't even going offense versus defense, really, because there's only about 18 to 20 guys out there. They don't have enough guys to field full 11-man units out there. So really all we're getting to do is hit the press conferences, watch them do drills, kind of check body types out. The Jaden Higgins seems as big a beast as he did on all his highlight video. Woody Marks is stacked, especially below the waist. No, I'm not being gross. I'm talking about his legs, his thighs. He's got thunder thighs, man, in a good way. So really just stuff like that out of rookie minicamp. We got to talk to or hear from the two Iowa State receivers and Ariante Ursary as well. They all seem like Texans. They all seem like exactly how D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio described the types of players that it is they're looking for. So far so good. Again, it's two practices in at a rookie mini camp and then whatever they've been doing this week out there. That's about all that went on out at rookie mini camp. Grant Mertz, the backup quarterback that they drafted, third string, the rookie quarterback they drafted, probably did more work out there than I thought he might coming off an ACL. He had a gigantic brace on his knee, but he swung the ball out there pretty good. OTAs, then minicamp, and then we're off and running. As far as the schedule goes, the schedule release is tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, I believe. Now, I would imagine we're going to be getting leaks throughout the day on Wednesday. You're probably listening to this on a Wednesday. So today, if you're listening to this on Wednesday, we'll probably see a lot of leaks coming out, with various games. It doesn't seem like the NFL is not very good at keeping a lot of these things secret. Now, they have released some of the games already. The season will open with Philadelphia in Dallas. Dallas in Philadelphia facing the Eagles in the season opener. Super Bowl champ host the season opener on Thursday Night Football. It'll be the Cowboys. They've now released all the opponents for the teams that are hosting international games. Probably the most interesting thing there, two of the Texans' divisional foes, the Jags and the Colts, are both doing international. The Jags do international games every year in London. The Colts are hosting a Germany game. Neither of those two are going to be hosting the Texans in either of those games. Texans are not going to any of these international games. I was holding out hope they might get the Brazil game on Friday after the season opener on Thursday, because the Chargers are hosting that and the Texans play at the Chargers. They're slated to play at the Chargers this year. I was hoping they might get that, but it's going to be the Chiefs. And YouTube is going to be carrying that game. So I would imagine YouTube probably had something to say about that with the league. Hey, look, we're going to be carrying this game for free, not getting any subscribers for it. Can you at least help us pop a number here? And the Chiefs will pop a number. Chiefs are bigger box office than the Texans are. So you'll get Mahomes versus Herbert in that Brazil game on Friday. Probably the most intriguing thing out of the international games is Minnesota is traveling to Dublin to face the Steelers in week four and then staying over there to face the Browns in week five in London. So Dublin, Ireland in week four, London in week five for the Minnesota Vikings. That'll be two of their road games this year. Two of their road games will be played overseas. And I would imagine a nice bye week that they're coming back to in week six. So other than that, one of the Christmas games, the Amazon Christmas game, has been leaked, intentionally leaked. It's Denver and the Chiefs. The Black Friday game, I believe, is the Bears and the Eagles. Don't quote me on that. I feel like three or four of the Eagle games have already been put out there. So none of the Thanksgiving Day games have been leaked yet. And then a few others. There's a Packers-Eagles game on Monday Night Football in Week 10. So we'll get more throughout the day on Wednesday. Just be careful. It's 50-50. There are – it's the internet, so there are terrible people out there that do terrible things on the internet. One of them is leaked fake NFL regular season schedules. So just be on the lookout, be leery, be wary of that. As far as the Texans schedule goes, I've got a few wishes for the Texans schedule. I've got four wishes. If you were listening to Payne and Pendergast today, I went through these on the air, but I feel like it's worth rehashing right here, and then we'll get into the mailbag. No Christmas Day game, please, this year, NFL, if you're listening. If you're listening to this podcast, and the schedule, you're still putting the finishing touches. No Christmas Day game this year. That sucked last year. Not just working all day Christmas, which is what I do pregame and postgame. And I'm not complaining about that. Don't get me wrong. I love doing pregame and postgame. But I also love Christmas. So even if the Texans had won last year, I would say, hey, I think I'd rather take Christmas off this year. But the fact that they lost 31-2 to the Ravens, the last thing I want is the PTSD of going back to NRG Stadium or covering a Texan game on Christmas Day. I don't need that again. The halftime show by Beyonce was easily the best part of that day. Easily. So that's number one. Request number one. Request number two, Cam Ward, first overall selection in the draft, is a Tennessee Titan. The Texans are going to play the Titans twice this season and every season from now until we die. So we're going to see Cam Ward for twice a year as long as he's a Titan, as long as he's in the division. He's a good player. He's a rookie. So we're going to play him twice this season. Let's get him early in the schedule before he has his sea legs under him. You know what I mean? So give us Cam Ward early in his rookie season. I know there's going to be two games. If you can give us one maybe like in the first 2 weeks and then another one like week eight or nine, like that's kind of the schedule they had with the Colts last year. They played the Colts weeks 1 and 8. Give us that, but the Titans this year with Cam Ward. So let's get Cam Ward at least one of those games, if not both of them, early in the schedule. The Texans travel to the West Coast. They play three games in the Pacific time zone this year, two LA games and a Seattle game. I would like the league to take two of those and combine them into one long trip, if you could. Either Seattle and an LA or both LA games, put them in back-to-back weeks so the Texans can kind of camp out on the West Coast. They're not flying back and forth in extra time. We see teams do this a lot. I forget. I think it was San Francisco did it 1 year, not all that long ago, where they were playing like Pittsburgh and Cleveland or something like that. So they just stayed in the Midwest all week. I think it's good. I think especially with a coach like D'Amico Ryans and the types of players they have, I feel like when the team gets away like that, there's some bonding that goes on. Good group of guys. So give us one of those. Give us some bondage. Bonding, not bondage. Bonding. We got rid of all the bondage people back a few years ago. Specifically one who enjoyed a massage or two. Combine two of those West Coast games. There's three, Seattle and two LA games. Combine two of them into one trip if you could. If you could accommodate us on that. By the way, if it's the two LA games that they do, they play the Rams 1 week and say the Chargers the next week, they can just leave all their stuff in the locker rooms there. If you're a Texans fan, you can travel out to the West Coast, spend a whole week out there, see a Texans game on either end. So I feel like that's I feel like any team whose schedule kind of lands that way, they should do it that way with those teams. You know, that should be a thing. Last request, and I think I speak for everybody on this one. I know I speak for the players on this one. Can we not have the bye week in the second week of December this year? I understand why they did it last year, because the league, you know, the Texans were going to play three games in 11 days starting in week 15. And they wanted to put a bye right before that so the Texans would be well-rested for that gauntlet. I don't know how well it worked. They lost two of those games and got blown out in the third one. But if we could get the bye week at like week 8, week 9, week 6, somewhere in there, not too early, not too late, somewhere in the meaty part of the curve, that would be outstanding. I am excited to see the schedule tomorrow because, as I've told you guys in this podcast many times, my wife Amy and I go on a road trip every year for the Texans bye week to a different NFL stadium. So last year we went to Pittsburgh, in December to see them play the Browns. That was really cool. We've done it four times. We started doing it after we got married. So in 2021, Green Bay and Seattle in Green Bay, amazing. I would go back to Green Bay. We try to go to different cities every year. And again, we've only done this four times, but Green Bay and Seattle in Green Bay. Then we went to Buffalo and Kansas City in 2022. Incredible. Kansas City is just mecca when it comes to a football atmosphere. It's a great city too. And the next year we went to Tampa Bay to see the Falcons and the Buccaneers. A blast. Shout out to Nelson Luis, the head of PR for the Buccaneers. Squared us away for that game. Nelson, you're the man. We went to Disney World. It was cool. And then last year, as I mentioned, we went to Pittsburgh, and that was a hardcore sports trip. We went to a Penguins game. We went to the football game. Fucking awesome. So my hope this year, told Amy this, my wish is that we get a home Buffalo Bills game for the Texans bye week when we go there. I want to go to Buffalo for a game. I want to be powerbombed through a table, a flaming table with thumbtacks and kerosene. I want to get powerbombed off the top of some 1978 Volkswagen van by some Bills fan in Zubaz and a Jim Kelly jersey. Some Bills fan, actually two Bills fans, a double powerbomb, one in a Jim Kelly jersey and one, what's a random, a Daryl Talley jersey. How about that? Daryl Talley. So those are my wishes for the Texans schedule. Let's get into the mailbag here, and then we shall be on our way. We'll start with Justin. Not sure if I've heard you talk about it, so sorry if you have, but I didn't think too much about our trade back in the first round until 10 minutes later when I saw the Falcons and the Rams trade, which was much better, in my opinion, than what we received to trade back. I actually have talked about this, but I'm willing to talk about it again because I am not as bad as others are about this trade. What are your thoughts on the picks traded? I know we drafted Higgins with one of the picks when we move back, but a future first rounder for the next year, for that very next pick. You know, the Rams got a future first. Hurt my soul. Here's what I would tell you about that. The trades, I don't know how podcast friendly this is. The Texans trade is simple. They moved back from 25 to 34 and in the process picked up a third rounder this year and a third rounder next year. Pretty simple. Move back 9 spots. Here's a third rounder this year, a third rounder next year. The Rams moved back 20 spots from 26 to 46. They picked up a seventh rounder and a first rounder. But they get a first rounder next year, but they gave up a third rounder as well. They had to put in a third rounder. So I think those are the two things. The first rounder, the first round pick, and especially if it's the Falcons' first round pick, and the Falcons might suck this year. I get what you're saying, Justin. I probably would have taken if Nick were offered the package from the Falcons, I probably would have taken that one over what it is they got. Now, here's the thing. If they move back to 46, they don't get Jaden Higgins. I actually asked Nick about that on our show. Like, how much do you have to factor in how far back you're moving on a deal? And it was definitely a factor there. I think they had a first-round grade on Jaden Higgins. So I think that was – they didn't want to move too far back. Move back to 46, and you're missing a whole swath of players there. So I think they wanted to be sure to stay at 34. The Rams couldn't do that. The Rams moved 12 spots further back. And the Rams had to give up an extra third-round pick to get that first-rounder. So that's – yeah, that – if you do the math, the score, the Jimmy Johnson chart or whatever, I think these two trades both grade out very similarly. But the optics of getting a first-round pick, and especially a first-round pick of a team that may not be very good, I understand it. I would have done that trade, too, based on that. But I don't think it's as big a deal as people are making it out to be, especially if Jaden Higgins winds up being a player. You know, especially if they wound up only moving back a certain amount and they got Jaden Higgins in the process. He was a 34th pick, and he plays like a first-rounder, like Kamari Lassiter did last year. They traded back from 23 to 42. You got Kamari Lassiter, who, if you redrafted last year's draft, probably goes in the first round. So that'll be a big key, is how good is Jaden Higgins? Because I think that's – Nick didn't say it directly when I asked him about that, but the sense I got was that was only moving back nine spots was kind of a big deal. All right.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bobby emails in. By the way, you can email houmailbag@gmail.com. After we drafted Ariante Ursary, two Jalens, we have two other Jalens on the roster. It made me wonder about the mental prep you do as media members to make sure you have the correct pronunciation and keep all the names straight in your head. I don't have a big problem with that. Seth Payne has a problem with it sometimes. He's admitted that. The night of the draft, you could see the text going back and forth with all the Jadens and Jalen. It was funny when it was happening on day two when they drafted Higgins, Noel, and Jalen Smith, two Jalens and Jaden. When they drafted Jalen Reed on the third day, I texted Seth. I'm like, dude, he's just trolling you now. I don't even think he cares if these guys are good football players. I just think he wants to get in your head. For me, it's not keeping the name straight. I think the biggest thing for me, not to get too media nerdy here or whatever, is to over-communicate exactly which Jalen it is we're talking about, especially on the radio if you're talking about any of them, because people float in and out on the radio, especially in drive time. People are getting in their cars at random times during a segment. So you got to be sure you're either referring to them by last name, or if you're referring to Jalen, make sure you're over-communicating which one it is. I don't have a big problem getting Jalen's and Jaden's mixed up and whatnot, but I think it's making sure that the audience knows. Bobby, you may have just been trying to be funny, and that was a funny email if you were. I'm giving you a somewhat serious answer about that because I think you were probably legitimately asking. So I appreciate the email, Bobby. Thank you. Joe Q is back in the house. Joe Q, where the hell you been, man? He said you touched on this last week, but I wonder if you can elaborate a bit on how the Texans seem to go back to the well at certain schools and in particular certain position groups. And I wonder if there are more nuggets you've picked up, Nick, on this topic over the years. Joe Q then gives the numbers to back this up. Knicks made 41 draft picks that have come from just 23 schools. For context, he says that the Colts have drafted drafted from 35 different schools in the same 5 years that Casario has been there. There's no doubt that Nick has his schools, and I think more importantly, his head coaches that he likes. I know of a few of them because he's talked about it on our show. I've discussed it with him off the air before. There are certain coaches he thinks very, very highly of, and you can probably look at some of the patterns where they have drafted from. They have six wide receivers. The top six wide receivers on this team, three of them are for Iowa State. He loves Matt Campbell. They got four linebackers. Two of them are from Alabama and are Nick Saban products. the dude likes Nick Saban and respects the program that he runs. Other schools where he's made multiple picks, LSU, Ohio State, Penn State, Notre Dame on the offensive line. Notre Dame is an offensive line factory. Michigan, Stanford, Florida, TCU, USC. I think there's a common link there, and I think probably some more than others, I would say. I just know from conversations, like the ones I can tell you, Matt Campbell, Marcus Freeman, Ryan Day, like these are all, you know, these are all coaches that I think run programs that are very similar to the type of program the Texans are putting together at the professional level. So it's very easy for kids to transition from there to the Texans. It's why C.J. Stroud, almost to an annoying degree, brings up Ohio State all the time. Because he's very proud of it, which is not annoying. So that's what I picked up. Joe Q said, some of these schools are perennial powers, others decidedly not. He's only drafted one player from Georgia, which has been the premier college program. He's only drafted one player from Georgia. I think some of that's coincidence. I know for a fact they wanted to draft Ladd McConkey last year, and they did make it down to them at 42. So there's just because they've only drafted one doesn't mean there aren't other guys that they had very high on their board, in no small part because they went to Georgia. That's the thing I think you need to probably look at, too. It's just you can't – he's picked 41 players from 23 different schools, and there have been hundreds of players out there available at any given time. But I'm just telling you from the conversations I've had, like these are schools that he speaks very highly of the type of program that the coaches run. Marcus Freeman, Notre Dame, swarmy. I know that for a fact. Joe Q finishes by saying it appears that Nick's scouting team has very high levels of trust in certain schools, not just in head coaches, but coordinators and position coaches as well. Probably so. I think it's more the head coach. That's going to be the constant everywhere is, you know, the head coach, they cycle. If you're a good program, you're cycling through assistants all the time. So it's the head coach that's the tone setter for that stuff. All right, Jason and Leander. Sean, aside from rookie camp, how do Texans coaches spend their days at this point in the year? With the draft over and training camp a couple of months away, are they watching opponents tape, looking for possible free agents who are still out there? Is it a grinding schedule? I think it's a little more laid back. There's still a lot of free agents out there, but my guess is they're just checking in on them. Some of the free agents that are still available now are probably voluntarily available, like they don't feel like doing minicamp or whatever. But I think they're, like a lot of us, they're waiting to see what the schedule looks like. They're probably – so they can see who their first few opponents are. Never too early to start doing that. Always watching tape. Always looking at free agents. I think you need to keep in mind, too, they're putting together a new offense this year, you know, with Nick Bailey there. So it's probably a little more labor-intensive on the offensive side of the ball this time of year than it normally is. Nick Bailey, by the way, you do get to see the coaches out there, rookie minicamp, big-time energy. Big energy from Nick Bailey. So kind of different from Bobby Slowick from that standpoint. But Jason, it's nothing. I don't think it's anything exciting, and I think it does tamp back a little bit. But their scouting never stops, man. Scouting never stops. All right, BK, I don't know if you're going to be able to top your Star Wars email from last week, but we'll give it a go. Sean the Pendergast, thank you. My middle initial is T, by the way. That would be awesome if my middle initial was the. I might change it. It's Thomas. Sean the Pendergast. Give me something to think about, BK. Thank you for being the utopia we all need at this time. Truly a ray of light in Cloud May sports funk. Frankly, after this week, things are awful. Wow, BK. Astros are getting death threats. Look, it's inexcusable to threaten the family of any Astro not named Mike Fiers. All right, BK said that, not me. FBI, if you're listening, I did not say that. I was just reading an email. I do not espouse or condone threatening anybody over sports. Even Mike Fiers, rat fuck that he is, I would not death threat Mike Fiers. I don't death threat anybody. If I'm gonna threaten anybody with anything, it's going to be a threat I follow through on. I don't have the stomach to kill a person. So, I'm more like, hey, man, if you cut in front of me again, if you go speeding through our garage here at my building again, I'm going to shoink you in the eyes like the Three Stooges. I will do that. Shoink. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see first person exactly what that looks like. Shoink. 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 Continuing. BK's horrible week here. The Rockets lost to the Warriors again. Then the Mavs and Spurs go number one and number two in the lottery. This is both a kick in the nuts and a slap in the face. The only thing I will say, I'm with you, BK, on that. Couldn't have gone any worse. They, by odds, they should have been picking ninth. They're picking 10th because Dallas jumped all the way up to number one. The only thing that would have been worse would be if the Spurs had won the lottery. I don't know. This isn't even a Houston take. This is the rest of the NBA take. There's no way that the rest of the NBA would be able to stand the Spurs winning the lottery again. And winning it again when Wembanyama gets hurt and then they tank their way into the lottery again. I mean, they might not have been a playoff team anyways, but if they had gotten Cooper Flagg, if they had won the lottery in two of the last 3 years, the 1 year they don't win it is the year where the lottery is just complete dog shit. Sorry, Reed Shepard, you're not dog shit. But comparatively, like talent-wise, top to bottom, it wasn't a great draft last year. That would have been tough to handle, real tough to handle. All right, what else is ailing BK here? The Texans don't play until the weather starts to turn cool again, which is going to be a long time. It ain't going to be cool when they play for the first time, BK. Turn cool again, what, to 93 instead of 95? They play in September, you know. It's hot in September here. You know, I know that. I do a pregame show outside for the Texans in September. It's fucking hot. Not complaining. Love doing it. Love it. It's my favorite thing I do. Sorry you're listening to this podcast. You're like, hey, I thought talking to us was your favorite thing. No, I enjoy it. But the Texans pregame and postgame pays better. So, it's BK. It's not going to – it's going to be a long time until we get real football. But if you're expecting it to be, quote, turn cool again, the hell's your problem, BK? Come on now. BK finishes up. Maybe things will be better next week. The Astros do play the Rangers. So here's to hating South Oklahoma. And maybe we'll get an Iowa State alumni fishing show to keep us entertained. See, BK? Glass half full. There you go. Question for the week. You know who gets open and has made some big plays for the Texans, although admittedly not touchdowns, he says? Xavier Hutchinson. Feed the X. I think X is making the team. I did a way too early 53-man roster where I had Xavier Hutchinson making the team. They talk about him like he's, you know, like, hey, we drafted these Iowa State guys. We've had pretty good luck with Iowa State guys, even though Hutchinson's got like 20 catches in his career. I'm all for that. I'm all for feeding the X. BK says, P.S., John Runyon remains a punk-ass bitch whose appeal is denied and is fine for something someone else said. John Runyon, the one who hands out punishments and who punished Joe Mixon initially for something that was tweeted by somebody else. A quote from somebody else got tweeted and attributed it to him. You're right. John Runyon is a punk-ass bitch, BK. We can agree on that. I'm not going to agree with you that when the weather turns cool again. Come on now. You're the man, BK. Y'all are all the man who emailed this week. I appreciate you. All right, so let's get out of here. Tomorrow, I will react to the Texans' schedule. You've got my wish list, NFL. You're watching this podcast. You know what it is I want. No Christmas Day game. Double up on the West Coast trip. Give us Cam Ward early and give us a bye week that's sane. Anything else, I'm willing to leave to the gods. I'm willing to leave behind door number two. Open up door number two, that's everything else. But give me those four things, four, all right? All right, big thanks to Jared Rowland, my producer, who gets this podcast out to you guys each and every week. Big thanks to all of you. Again, houmailbag@gmail.com. If you want to email the program and subscribe, give us a rating, give us a review. I need to eat dinner. Amy's in here cooking dinner right now, so I'm hungry. I need to eat. We will see all of you later this week. Schedule release tomorrow. Christmas Day for schedule nerds. Are you a schedule nerd? I'm a schedule nerd. Tomorrow is Christmas for us, so let's do it. Have a great day, everybody. Happy schedule release day on Wednesday. See you.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you.